Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the late edition of Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. We have a great show in store for you tonight. The topic, Tyler Perry's For Better or For Worse. We're going to be discussing Tyler Perry's newest sitcom. It made its international debut on TBS tonight, and man, what a doozy. Did you like it? What do you think? Sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, or Tumblr. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter and at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. I also have a chat room open, so whatever your pleasure, chat room, Twitter, Facebook, or just plain old my bell, we're going to be making it easy for you to join the conversation. So let's get started. First up, I want to introduce my esteemed colleague and my lovely wife, Jima. Jima and I are going to be talking about this opening episode of For Better or For Worse. Jima, welcome to the show.
All right, glad to be here with you.
So first up, what do you think about it? What was it, a good show or not?
I thought it was good. It was funny. It had some parts in there that were just pure comedy. But, you know, Tyler Perry, I think if he's done anything, he's mastered the art of telling a story and getting one to think about what they're doing or even coming to some sort of resolution at the end of something. He has a way of getting a message out. So he done that, I saw in the first episode, and then at the end, we are all responsible for the decisions we make. And I think he showed that tonight. So I thought it was good.
So when you mentioned message, what do you think the overarching message was? I mean, there were two episodes tonight, right? There was, you know, the opening show and then kind of a follow-on to the first one. So if you had to pick a message or a couple of messages, what would they be? What would you think they were?
Well, I think the first one is that when you blend in a family or you have kids from a previous relationship, the adults in that relationship have to get along for the sake of the children. I think the second thing is, the second one was, as I was stating, that we are responsible for the choices that we make. And if we choose to allow ourselves to get caught up and forget the vows that we made, then we'll find ourselves in some sticky situations. So I think, you know, the two women coming to some sort of agreement in the first episode, you know, although they had to get down and dirty and do a little knockout drag out, but I think, but them coming to the agreement that, hey, we need to get along for the sake of the children, we should be better than this, you know, that's a true statement. I mean, I have no personal experience in that area, but I've seen it enough to know that it can be real chaotic for the children when the adults in the room are not acting like adults.
And how realistic do you think that is, though? I mean, how many people that have real problems, real issues with their counterpart or their, you know, ex-spouse or their friends or their ex-spouse deal with situations like that?
I mean, like, respond like they did? Or
just, yeah, respond like they did, yeah.
Well, no. I mean, you know, I know a few cases where, you know, it might not have gone to blows physically, but it went to blows verbally. I mean, it was some cussing out and some, you know, some real name calling and some real deep hits. You know, they may not have been physical between the two women in this particular case. You know, but it does happen. You know, it does happen. There's the one that got away is jealous of the one that got him. Although when she had him, she didn't want him. But that's beside the point.
Now, I mean, the truth be told, that is a very adult position for both of them to take. And I applaud Tyler, as I always do when he does these type of shows, at his courage to address this issue, because it's so prevalent in our societies. And it's unfortunate we do have a lot of blended families. I mean, famous blended families, to be in fact. And I think, you know, Will and Jada and that particular famous couple talks about this as well. But for him to kind of highlight this and then take an approach where people shouldn't just be looking at the negative side, but the positive side of it by saying, hey, you know, we need to do this for the children. And so, again, I have to applaud him for at least approaching that. I want to also ask you about his portrayal of the character. What's the character? What's the character name in here? The main female character here.
I know her real name is Tasha.
Right. So
what is her name? Yeah, that's her real name, Tasha. Mm-hmm.
So Tasha's character in here. What do you think about her portrayal? How she's. First, let me ask you. What do you think about her portrayal in this particular show?
In this particular show, I think she did extremely well. You know, she's notorious for sometimes being over the top, but I think this time she did really well in portraying her character.
Right, which is Angela's a character's name in this particular show. And
right.
So, and the reason why I asked that question because I can tell over the years of watching her act and her the maturation she's going through, and her now willing to take more of a softer role as opposed to a, you know, all up in your face type of I'm going to get you in yelling role. So it seems like she's really trying to embrace this opportunity to show a different side, not only as an individual, but also as a professional actress, to be able to say she can go to both extremes and easily. And so
I think that's really, you know, at the discretion of the director and the writer. And so I think Tyler has, as he's developed her character, he has developed her character to be this way, so that when we watch her in the beginning at the first, you know, why did I get married? And, you know, there should be some growth in any relationship. And so, and in any person after so many years, there should be some growth out of that person. So I'm thinking, and I might be reading too much into this, this might not be where Tyler was going, but I'm thinking he's showing, you know, over time from when we first met to over, you know, where they are now, that there's been, you know, change in how she deals with things. I mean, she'll still go off at the beginning. It's like she did with Keisha, you know, it was she tried to talk to her, and then, you know, Keisha just took her to that point. But then at the end of the day, she brought it back and was like, you know, we got to do better than this. And I can't say that when we first met that character so many years ago, she would have done that, you know. So I think it's his style, his writing that is allowing her to evolve to be more than just angry black woman.
So let's put a pin there for a second. Let's talk about Tyler's style. And it's interesting that he's addressing a marriage and a family type of a topic, and him not being married or not having a family in this particular context. So where do you think how is he able to really capture the essence of the black family, of the black marriage, and not really having a real life experience with it?
Well, I mean, that's what makes him great, because he has such a vivid imagination. He has such an ability to see somebody else's story and expand on it and make it be his own, where you believe every character that he's ever introduced to us as somebody that he knows personally. So I think he just has a unique ability. His creativity allows him to see a character and to write about something, to grow it, to develop it, and to use examples around him. I mean, as you say, he's in the world, he's in the business, so it would be hard to try to create such a family either. I mean, you're looking at a former professional athlete, married, you know, and how all that fell out. I mean, that's a story you hear all the time on all these reality shows that's out there now. You know, we could say Tyler did it first.
You know, I have to agree with you. So, you know, I want to address Marcus's character now. And so we talked a little bit about Angela. I want to talk a little bit about the character Marcus in this particular show. What role does he has to play as a married man and trying to manage two households, basically, and, you know, his daughter in a second relationship? How is he being portrayed? Is he pulling his character off well? Is this, you think this is something that realistically happened in life, and how is he doing?
Well, yes, it happens in life. It happens every single day. I think he has to be a little bit more firm with the ex and, you know, set some clearer boundaries with her, and not allow her to cause so much turmoil in his home life. I think, you know, that's kind of been the nature of their relationship, from what we know of these two characters, is that he was never, you know, he never really put his foot down with Keisha. So just allowed her to say and do whatever as it related to Angela. So I think as he develops, you know, he has to do some of the same work that he wanted Angela to do, and that is he has to have a little bit more backbone when it comes to his ex, you know, and although they do have a child together, he's with somebody else, and she has to respect that. But he has to make sure those boundaries are clear. And I don't think he had always done that. Matter of fact, we know he had, based on the character. He hadn't always made sure those boundaries were clear.
Okay, so let's shift now to Keisha. Obviously, she's, to me, being an instigator. She has an opportunity to really back off, but she keeps pushing the envelope a lot. What do you think about her character?
A woman scorned, a woman lost, a woman who's having buyer's remorse, you know, in terms of she had an opportunity, she didn't follow through with it. She had them and she lost, and she's been spending all this time trying to figure out how to get them back. So, I mean, she's a typical ex with a baby by the man, trying to hold that over his head and hold him hostage to that. And I mean, she's typical. I mean, I wish I could say, oh, I don't know anybody like that, but I do. And so it's sad. Excuse me, it's sad, but they're out there, and they make it their business to make, you know, the father, their child's life as miserable as possible. I mean, on the episode before, on his other show, House of Pain, he's kind of dealing one of the same issues with a character having a child and having to go through the system to have supervised visits, you know, with his son, and seeing the person there that wouldn't even let him take a picture of a child and wouldn't let him even go out of the room because the ex is saying that they're not good parents. I mean, so you see Tyler in how he portrays reality is what makes him so successful, because there are people living these lives of these characters every day. So that's what makes him so successful. And so, you know, I'm like you, I have to applaud him. I see that he's, you know, he's taking that leap and exposing some of the ills that people have to deal with every day.
Yeah, I like the fact that you pointed out he's dealing with real issues, because it seems like, you know, for the past several decades, when black families are being portrayed, it seems a little bit contrived, made up, and kind of, you know, ad-libbed, if you will, as opposed to saying, hey, these are real issues that we deal with in the way that we deal with them, not issues that we deal with in a made-up way that we deal with them. So, again, I echo what you just said about the way he approached issues. So, I want to shift now from the individual characters, and I think those are kind of the key ones. And I want to move now to, like, relationships. I want to tackle the relationship piece. And I want to take, there are three specific relationships. There's one married couple, one girlfriend and boyfriend, one kind of live-in couple. And not to give too much of the show away if people haven't had an opportunity to see it, but I want to shift. I want to kind of talk about the married couple, the Angela and Marcus relationship. So I want to kind of get a woman's perspective of their relationship, and then I'll give you mine. So first off, what do you think about Marcus's and Angela's relationship as it's portrayed here in the show?
Well, like I said, because you know the history in terms of that's the one couple that is the carryover from the movies in terms of why did I get married, you see them evolve and you see them grow. So because of that, I think there's a point now in their relationship where they are really beginning to like each other. And not just tolerate each other. I think they've probably tolerated each other the majority of their relationship. But I see them now probably trying to actually like each other.
You know, I like that because in my opinion, there are stages that people go through in a relationship. The first stage, of course, is infatuation and, you know, I pressure, you impress me, and we trying to get to know each other, but we really don't know. And so as you begin to find out who these people are, who your spouse is, or who your mate is, then you go through another phase of trying to kind of mellow out and get to know each other better. So the infatuation is over. Now you're trying to get to know each other. And then through that get to know each other phase, you're going to find out there's some things you don't like about that individual. There's some things that they're not going to like about you. And so you kind of fall out of love, and then you have to learn how to like that person and then to fall in love with that person again. But this new love is not built off of infatuation as it was initially built on. And so I see them in the third phase. You know, the infatuation is over. They got to know each other because she was crazy or portraying to be crazy. He was kind of shady and in a lot of areas was lying in a lot of cases. They were both kind of going out there cheating a little bit. Now they're trying to make a commitment because they understand and know who they are as individuals. And now they're growing fond of each other and really trying to make it work. So it was begs the question: how what do you think about this notion of this history box that they introduced in the show? What's your opinion about that? You're probably on mute if you're talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I find it to be very interesting, the history box, because that takes a lot of courage to tell somebody everything. And then to leave it and never bring it up again, that's powerful. That's powerful. That's grown folk stuff, as they would say. That's not for the faint. That's not for the, I don't think that's nothing you do on a whim. You got to really know and believe and say in your heart of hearts that it doesn't matter what I say. I know he is not going to leave me, or I know she is not going to leave me. We're going to work through this thing, and we're going to still be together.
Is it really useful, though? I mean, is it worth it? I mean, what do you gain by that level of exposure?
Well, when you've had, I think probably in their case, there had been so much dishonesty and distrust in the relationship. They had both cheated on each other before and had all these other things in the way. So I think, you know, maybe when it's those types of issues that's blocking you from you know, being the couple that you need to be, then maybe it'll help you. But I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. That's tough. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, so this assumes that it's useful when you're having problems and the fact that, you know, there's a trust factor, and you know, you're questioning what they're doing and they're questioning what you're doing, and so you take this as an approach to say, let's get it all on the table so we can reestablish the trust. So what's to say then that couple shouldn't do this initially up front?
Well, I don't think there is anything to say, but I think you have to really know that person and have really already gone through some things with them in order for you to stay after they tell you everything.
The difference is that you've already made some investment as opposed to saying, you know, we can choose to end it before we get started if I know all this.
Well, no, I don't think it's necessarily about ending it before you get started, but you definitely need to know that it might not make it. I mean, just the bottom line. There might be something that comes out in that I cannot forget, that I know I'm going to bring up. And the exercise is for you to be able to say it all out and put it all out there, get all the yelling, screaming, cussing, I can't stand you, I hate you, get all of them out of the way, and then you bury it and never bring it up again. Never. And I mean, never means never. Never doesn't mean when I'm mad again I bring it up. Never means I can never say that one thing that hurt me the most. I can never bring that back up to you. You know, you better be ready for that.
Is it really possible for somebody to go through that level of trust, if you will?
Well, of course it's possible. I mean, you know, one would hope that you have that already in, you know, in your relationship. And unless it's tried and tested, you never really know. But one would hope that it's already there.
Yeah, but you're saying to bring up everything you've ever done. I mean, I can understand everything you've ever done to a certain point. For example, if I've been married 10 years, I mean, I'm willing to go back 10 years. But you're saying year 11, 12, 15, 18. I mean, I don't think that's useful. I mean, it has no bearing on the future of our relationship if I did something 11 years or 12 years ago if it was outside of a relationship. You don't think that?
Well, I don't know the full outcome of the exercise. I don't know if it's about in that relationship that you put everything in the history box or if it's everything. I don't know. But I would agree with you that something that I did prior to me being in a relationship with you shouldn't really have that big of an impact on our relationship unless it was something illegal and immoral and unnecessary.
Right,
then I might question your character. But
right.
Other than that,
so let's say you did tell somebody that you know, it was outside of the time span in which you all met. I mean, that's nothing that they should be able to hold against that person, should it?
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of whether they should be able to hold it against them, but we're human, and that's the makeup of who we are. You know, that's just what we do. You know, we probably shouldn't, but I'm sure in the back of my mind I might be thinking about it at some juncture. Be like, well, you know, he did do such and such when he was 25. I mean, you know, so no, I shouldn't, but it'll probably, you know, be somewhere hanging around in the background of my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love the show, and I thought it was great. I think that's the part that I think is questionable, and I don't think it's possible, and I don't think people are doing it. I mean, I don't see how people can just tell every single thing they've done, good or bad.
And I think you need to be in the company of a trained professional to help you work through all that. That's not something you just do at home one day.
I think you have to be around
somebody that can balance out all those emotions that's going to come out.
Right, but I'm at the same time, though, I'm saying that for you to get to that level of I'm going to lay all this on the table and then to say, okay, so I might be willing to do it, but the person may not be willing to accept it. That's the part I'm talking about, because it's going to come up. It's going to come back up. I mean, they're humans, just like you said. There's no way possible that they're not going to bring it up at some point. And I guarantee you, over the episode of these shows, we're going to see it come out.
Well, it almost came out tonight when the friend was trying to bring up. You told her everything. You said you mentioned. I mean, you know. So it of course it's going to come up again. But if I made a commitment to you, my partner, that we're going to work whatever those things are that we said we've worked through, and we know some of them will be a part of this relationship for life, then I made a commitment to stay in it and to stick it out. So I can't now, midway through the game, change my mind and say, I don't want to play no more.
I have to agree with you. Okay, so let's move to the second relationship. The one where the two couples are staying together, been together for 3 years, I think he said. and they are, he says they're not ready to get married, but it seems like, you know, especially at the end of the second episode, that she was had a different thought. What is up with relationships in that fashion?
Well, it's not that she said anything. He said that their relationship was fine. She never got a chance to answer that question. He was speaking for both of them. So therein is problem number one, is that he's making some assumptions, probably because she's never said anything about getting married. But just because she doesn't say anything doesn't mean she ain't thought about it. But he's doing all the things that a man would do that wants to marry you, except propose and ask you to marry him.
I mean,
he borrowed a ring. He borrowed a Bentley. You know, he's done more than most men do that have proposed. So that's going to be interesting.
And the way she portrays it is that he bought all this stuff outright, as if she truly owns these things. And so,
right,
if that's the case, I mean, you know, why should she be worried about getting married?
Because marriage gives you a sense of connection and commitment that somebody just don't wake up one morning and walk away. That's what you really want to see. So
let's be real. There are many.
It's a little harder to get out of it depending on the states you live in when you're married than it is you just living together.
But there are many cases where people are married and, and the divorce rates are so high right now. Like I think they're like 50% amongst black people right now. So, I mean, so why go through all of that paperwork when you are already doing all the things that married people do anyway? I mean, so there's no added benefit for them tying a knot.
Well, for her, I mean, obviously it's not. They haven't had the conversation. Here they are 3 years, 3 years into it. They've, you know, accumulated all of these things together, the wealth they have together. He's perfectly fine keeping things as they are. She now may be a little bit different, so they may have to have another kind of conversation.
Okay. I'll take that. I don't agree with it, but I'll take it. So let's move.
Why don't you agree with it, though? I mean, with it?
You know, if we come to an agreement and we've consummated our relationship, and you know, I gave you a Bentley, you got a house. I mean, we doing everything, and we happy. You know, why complicate things with, you know, with this paperwork?
So for you, marriage is a complication.
No, I'm just saying in that particular relationship, if they've already had those things, if all those things are already in place, why complicate things?
But see, here's the real question, though. You made a statement that they have an agreement. Well, it's pretty obvious that they may not have an agreement. They may not have ever talked about it, which I think as the season goes on, they will have that conversation, because it's obvious that she's feeling one way and he's feeling another way. And it may not have started out like that. She may have been okay in the beginning, but as time went on, her mind might change. And that's what happens in relationships. Her mind changes.
So how's the marriage going to change her mind from changing?
How what?
I mean, if they go out and get married, is that going to change her mind? I mean, about how they feel about each other? I mean, is the love going to get better now since they married? Is she going to do more things? I mean, so I, from what I interpret their relationship to be, is they're doing everything that married people do.
That, right.
She
I
has all the right.
But in her mind, for him to say, we don't need to get married, or no, she's fine, you know, A, speaking for her, and, you know, just his tone about the whole marriage thing was not one in which he had, you know, he gave her any implication that he wanted to get married, or that he even wanted to marry her, and that life for him was fine. He's not going nowhere. You know, he's probably got your same mindset. What we need to get married for? Life is great, happy. I mean, then the whole kids thing. That's the other part of it. We might be, you know, me and you living together, you know, without any children is one thing. But once I have a child, I probably want to be married. I don't just want to be, you know, somebody with a baby.
Yeah, I agree. But he made it perfectly clear that they were not wanting to have a baby. He made that perfectly clear.
He made it perfectly clear that he didn't want to have a baby.
So there again is another instance in which he was speaking for her, and I'm gonna, you know, make a leap here and say he was speaking for her a little bit out of turn.
Well, I mean, she didn't say anything. She had
an
opportunity to speak up, though.
His bounds a little bit.
But she had an opportunity to speak up.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that wasn't the time for that. That's
all right,
why
so
she's there the next day trying to figure out how to move on, how to move
all right.
forward.
So let's move to the third relationship. That this boyfriend, I mean, this best friend is sleeping with my ex girlfriend. How's that rub? I mean, how's that rub you the wrong way? If you've seen the guy that you spent many, many, many years with now sleeping with your best friend, or having a relationship with your best friend, because they ain't got to be sleeping together, but having a relationship with your best, how's that rubbed you?
Well, it's kind of I would be a tad bit offended if I found out the way he found out. That's for sure.
But I mean, they didn't know though. I mean, he was. You know, they met online. I mean, you know, because the online thing is crazy right now. I mean, from what I hear, that, you know, these online dating sources are making millions and millions of dollars, and people are doing it all over the place. So, you know, it's plausible or feasible that he met her and really didn't know her, and they hit it off when he got there. So it could have been a last-minute thing that he found out who she actually was, and they didn't have any kind of, a relationship before they met. So, I mean, it's possible for it to happen in that way. It did. So, but
right.
I agree
with that. I mean, but you know, it's still kind of, that's something you gotta you really gotta be a mature person to handle that. You know, in terms of somebody, you know, your girl for me, you know, ends up with, you know, my, if I had a child by this man, by my you know, baby's father, end up with him. I mean, that'll be. That'd be kind of, I don't know.
So
it's supposed to be tight.
This is good, because from a male's perspective, we feel one way, and I would like to get your perspective. If it was reversed, if the situation was reversed, how would you feel? How would it rub you the wrong way? What would be the issues that would really bother you about the situation?
I think just how I was told would probably be the biggest issue, because if I'm in a relationship and I'm married and happy and I'm completely over this person, then I really don't care who they with. No, you know, it really is not going to bother me, but just show me some courtesy and decency more than anything to kind of inform me, you know, about who and what or whatever. But other than that, I really don't care, because I've moved on. Obviously, I didn't want you, so you're going to be whoever you want to be with.
Ah, you said an interesting word. You said if you were over them, so which implies that it, in the event that you were not over them, it would cause some complications, as opposed to,
well,
not being
over. Yeah, it would, because you look at it, you know, these people, okay, let's look at their situation. These people are business partners now, which means they're going to be around each other a lot. They're going to have business functions with each other. So if I am still harboring some sort of feeling towards the person that's coming to all the functions with him, then, you know, with her or whatever, it's going to create a hostile work environment. So, yeah, I mean, if I haven't completely let that person go, or if I'm holding on to something thinking they still might want me or whatever, or we might get back together, if I was holding out thinking we might get back together, and then, bam, that's what happens, yeah, that's going to take a little time for me to get over, for sure.
Okay, so, but in this particular instance, the male character is married, and he's happily married, or at least he's giving off the, he's portraying that he's happily married, and then this lady is obviously pursuing him in some instances, and then we're not going to give the whole thing away, because we want people to go out there and watch the movie, right? I mean, watch the show. But for the most part, the dynamics that are happening here are real, I mean, are really real, right? I mean, people deal with this stuff all the time, every day. So you kind of gave me your perspective. I'm going to give you mine. You know, if my best friend, and I'm not going to call his name, so if my boy was dating or involved with an ex-girlfriend, especially if I had a baby by her, I tell you that, and then you mentioned the fact that if you didn't know. So let's say the same scenario happened. You know, he come down to Dallas and we kick it, and he brings her. And I'm like, whoa, you know, and she's like, whoa. And, you know, and of course, you know, my son is still around and things of that nature, and she comes over, I would be surprised, first of all. And then secondly, I would want to know why. I want to know why her, as opposed to why not all the other millions of people. And then I would think it would be intentional. I would think he was being, I would be thinking he's being vindictive towards me. And so then I would begin to question our relationship. I would begin to question whether we were really truly friends, because quite frankly, there's a lot of women out there per male. I mean, it's statistically just the case. And so for him to choose her out of all other people, I would just think it would be a tad bit questionable. And so he could tell me, yeah, I didn't know. But I would just still question the fact that our relationship is not as solid as it was if he took that approach. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it'll be tough all the way around. If you're uninformed, if you're not sure, or if you are, you know, not sure about your feelings for the ex, and you know, whatever, when they come around, or if you and the ex have had some, you know, passing the night over the years, y'all may not have been together, but y'all have had some moments of passion over the years and whatnot. So it's not like, you know, y'all been totally away from each other, and then bam, all of a sudden she shows up with somebody that you know and that you've known for a while, and now this person is your new business partner. And I mean, that just seems like a lot. But you know, that seems like a lot.
I have to agree. So I want to move to another point right here. I want to talk a little bit about, well, all right, before we move on, I want to park there for a minute and talk about how this guy acted in this particular case, when they were all toasting to wine and they were saying, they kept going up and down, things of that nature. And this guy continues to kind of start ratting out the guy. What do you think about that particular component of the second episode? I think you're on mute again. Okay, it seems like we lost our caller there. Are you with us?
Hello?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, now repeat your question again. I'm sorry.
And I was just saying that the couple we were just talking about, I was saying that there was a point in time when they were standing up and they were toasting, and he started to try to outdo his business partner, and he wanted to kind of rat him out and stuff of that nature, talking about he's going to take her home and they're going to make love and all that stuff. What do you think about that point in time in a particular show?
Well, I mean, not being a man, I think he broke all kind of man rules personally at that juncture, just how he was, you know, belaboring the point, and then even how he was bringing up past stuff that, you know, as boys they had talked about. So I think he broke all kind of rules. I don't know. I mean, for me, it would be hard to trust him as a business partner if he gonna put all my personal business out there like that, even though it was just that tight group of people and everybody in the room kind of already knew everything in the room. But it's beside the point. I think he was a little bit... I think he was out of order, and that's just from, you know, my perspective. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't stay in business with him. He'd have to go.
You know, so I like the fact that he used the alcohol as the reason he behaved that way. And so then a lot of times when people talk about, well, you know, it was the alcohol. So, you know, people say that when you're saying a drunk man speaks a sober mind. So if he was drinking the alcohol, then of course, he was saying things that was really important to him, or he really felt that way. And so, again, I would have to, you know, be in, you know, agreeing with you. I wouldn't be able to trust him because a drunk man speaks a sober thought. So I thought that was interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how these dynamics play out throughout the rest of the movie. And then finally, I want to talk about the last segment of the second episode, right? When she walked in on Marcus, when Keisha walked in on Marcus, and she put herself in a position where she could corner him in So what do you think about the dynamics in that particular situation? What would be your opinion, and how should he have responded?
Once again, I feel as though Marcus waited too long to, you know, straighten out his backbone and say to her what he needed to say. Nothing she had to say was important. Where they need to be in a room all by themselves with the door closed. I mean, that's just, you know, you're inviting whatever the potential to happen. You're inviting it in because you are alone in a space that's close with a woman that you have a history with, who is now telling you that she never got over you and she, you know, she made the wrong mistake and all that nonsense. And he should have just told her from the very beginning when she walked in, hey, he just left, and then should have kept moving and told her, no, you know. I don't think he stood up to her fast enough. He waited too late, and you know, now who knows what's going to happen.
You know, I'm thinking that, not to say that I've been in that exact situation before, but I kind of understand his position, right? He was at work, you know, trying to figure out, you know, finish up what he was doing, and then she walked in on him, and she kind of cornered him in. And so he didn't want to just leave the situation because he probably wanted to say, I need to try to deal with this situation so I can kind of get past this situation. But she continued to pursue him hard and, you know, harder and harder. And so it was just interesting to me to see her kind of close him in and try to rekindle the relationship, which means that she was never genuine about the relationship she tried to establish when they had the fight early on. So I'm not.
Oh, with Keisha.
Yeah.
With Angela.
Yeah, when Keisha and Angela had that interchange early on, and she was trying to mend and make up, and so now she's going after this guy. I mean, pursuing him, as opposed to trying to mend the relationship and move forward. Obviously, she's really trying she has some unresolved issues, basically.
Of course she has some unresolved issues, and she probably needs some medication to help her stabilize all that, more number one. Number two, probably when she was with Angela, she may have meant everything she said in that moment, because in that moment it wasn't about Marcus as much as it was about the kid. So, you know, she may have meant everything about that in that moment, talking about them having a relationship for the sake of, you know, the children. So she probably meant that. But after they got to the house and she saw, and then the exchange with the couples and all of that, and then she, you know, she looked at who she came with and how he was acting, who knows, you know, what all that, all those different dynamics were. And then she just realized, dang, I really did let some go that this chick was willing to fight me for. You know, so,
again, this is another one of Tyler Perry's magnificent moments to be able to put this situation, because again, this situation happens all the time. You know, a lot of times men are portrayed in a negative light to say that they are the ones that are pursuing women, but in this particular instance, it was clear that she was pursuing him. He's really saying, I want to move on. I have moved on. I'm the bigger guy here. I'm not going to try to do this. But she's being very aggressive. And then, you know, and then it was interesting how the girl walked in on him and kind of saw some interchange. And so what do you think is going to come out of that particular, just a small snippet that she saw?
She's going to run back and tell Angela.
And he's going to put, I mean,
hopefully, when she gets to Angela, Marcus would have already told Angela. That's what you hope will happen. So then he'll go home and say, you know, Keisha came by the studio today and she, you know, was trying to, you know, seduce me, or she was, and I was telling her, look, I'm done, I'm happy, you know, whatever. Hopefully he gets to Angela before the friend gets to Angela. Because
is she gonna believe that?
Well, if she trusts him, and they really put everything in the box, and they can't bring up old stuff, see, she can't. If the exercise and the process works, then her anger or disappointment with him will be about that incident and not about all the 20 other ones.
But the reality is,
Time will tell. Only time will tell how the season goes.
She's not gonna believe it. And I mean, you saying you think he should go in and tell her what? What exactly should he say?
he has to go in and say that, you know, Keisha came by the studio today and she was trying to seduce me, let me know she still wanted me or whatever. And I told her, you know, that season of time has passed. I'm with you. You know, I love you. I love my wife. I'm happy. You know, so just so you know, this is what happened. Now, if he doesn't do that and she asks him about it and he doesn't be and he's not forthcoming with her, he's worse. He go ahead and tell her. Just go, because he knows she's going to find out. We always do.
But I mean, and
how
nothing
we
happened.
To it
but nothing happened.
But we
nothing happened.
Always find out.
Nothing happened. I mean, you know, he said at the end of the show why he's had to be so sexy or something like that. So obviously, this happens all the time to him and me and everybody else in the world. And so, I mean, if that's the case, if that's the case, and this is a common occurrence, why tell her?
Because it's Keisha. And there's too much history between him and Keisha for him not to tell her whenever there's a made-up notion that something might be going on. He has to tell her.
Okay, so let's take two scenarios. Let's take the scenario that he does not tell her, and some time passed. We're not going to say day, week, months, year, whatever. But some time passed, and she finds out through some third party, not from Marcus, but from some third party. It could be Keisha could tell her. It could be the other young lady that walked in and could tell her. But she finds out through some third party. What should be her response?
Well, first she goes to Marcus and she asks questions. She never makes any assumptions. She doesn't accuse him of anything. She just asks a question. I understand a while back that Keisha came by the studio. You know, what happened? So he already know at that point she knows something. So he just might as well go ahead and tell her what he thinks she knows. Whether or not that's what she knows, he has to go and come clean.
Okay, what if the story that gets to him, though? Because this is pretty possible for it to happen, is that by the time she gets it, Keisha was on top of him, riding him and just making love to him, kissing him and all that. My point is how is interpreted what she said, right? Because that is true. But by the time Angela gets it, you know, Keisha was on top of him and she was riding him and they was, you know, they was doing all this and that. I didn't stay long enough to see it, but I'm telling you what happened, right? So she gets it and then he says nothing happens, right? Because that's exactly what nothing happened,
right?
And so she's now not gonna trust him, right?
Well, she's going to say, why didn't you tell me about this? He's going to say, well, it wasn't nothing to tell. She's going to say, yeah, whenever you're dealing with Keisha, there's always something to tell. So, they you know, you would hope after they did their history box exercise that they gave themselves some ground rules and some boundaries that they have to always operate in. So whenever there's a Keisha issue, they have to talk about that up front. That's nothing. You don't ever get to excuse away a Keisha issue when the dynamics have been such in your
because of the history.
Right.
This is not no ordinary girl. This is not no groupie or anything like
right.
This. This is not some. This is Keisha, and we know we have issues with Keisha. So
right.
So therefore, we should always disclose that, regardless of how minuscule we think it is. We should disclose. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, I can see that, and I can assure you that this will be brought up in the next episode in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So I want to move now, because that was good. We talked a little bit about each individual character. We talked a little bit about the relationships. I want to move now to the professions, right? And the portrayal that Tyler Perry is doing with these characters. And specifically, their house. Wasn't their house immaculate?
Oh, yeah, their house was gorgeous. That house was absolutely gorgeous. I love the colors. I love the layout. All the stuff in the rooms. It was beautiful.
You know, I kind of screamed at the moment there has to be a sports connotation associated with their success. But of course, again, that's more realistic. I mean, he's not making some things up. He's taking realistic issues that we deal with, and he's kind of bringing them forward a little bit. So, you know, I'm not going to be so critical because there's a sports connotation associated with their success, because I think that's probably more realistic than not. But I do like that they do have the ownership component to their to what's going on. So they're talking about leaving corporate America. They're talking about the risks associated with starting your own business. They're talking about black people partners partnering to really move it to the next level. So I like the I like what Tyler is doing with respect to his portrayal of the African Americans that are situated in the, in this particular show, as well as what he's showing them to have, the successes that they have, you know, the cars, and she talked about the Bentleys and owning her own condo and the fact that they, the house that they showed and all of the amenities that they have. I think that's absolutely wonderful because we need to see that. That needs to be a portrayal of African Americans in that light as opposed to being ghetto. What do you think?
I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think the lesson that you take from Marcus going from playing football and using that career to help springboard into what he's doing now is what you want athletes to be able to do, to see past the days that they're on the playing field, because that time on the playing field doesn't last, you know, long, you know.
Right.
So to show, you know, the fact that he used his talent and used his money to foray it into his own business and to be, you know, not working for someone still, I think is an excellent example of what we should be teaching our young men and young women to do once you come out of the game, you know, now what? You know, this is an excellent example of now what. And I think showing, you know, like you said, the business side of it and the risk and, you know, leaving corporate and having your own own business, you do have certain risks with that. And so I think them talking about it, and then even throwing in the whole student loan debt, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing
yeah.
that in, you know.
Right.
Of course, I can attest to a 1,000%, you know, how that thing just hangs over your head. So I think that was that's all realistic stuff that not only black people, but just people deal with every day. Hello?
Okay, so I think we had a little technical difficulty there. We had so many people calling into the show at the time that it kind of booted some people off, and including me as well as the sweetheart. So we got that the technical difficulty squared away. So moving back to the component where we were talking about the giving the profession that was portrayed on throughout the show. I thought it was really interesting to see him portray all of the people as professionals. I thought it was very important for him to be able to show the successes through their material gains as well as their future aspirations. Because a lot of times we see people in the now, we see the athletes in the now, we see the entertainers in the now. But to me, what I thought was interesting here is that they also show what their aspirations are and how kind of a roadmap, an implied roadmap of where they were going in the future. Jimmy, you still with us?
I am.
Okay, so and then finally, we have a few more minutes for of the show left, and I want to talk about now Tyler Perry and all of the issues that people have with him and the things that he's doing throughout his industry, and specifically related to Kim Kardashian, the fact that he's portraying her in his new movie. What do you think about that?
I think it's Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay.
Tyler Perry is an artist. He's a performer. He's a director. He can put anybody in his movies that he wants to, because that's what he does. He's also a businessman, which means he's concerned about the bottom line. At the end of the day, he wants a good product. He wants a product with a message, but he also wants to sell tickets and fill up the theaters. So, you know, he has to do what he has to do. I'm not a Kim Kardashian fan, but that's not going to stop me from going to see the movie. So that's just how I feel about it. I think it's just a much to do about nothing. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what Tyler Perry does. There's always going to be somebody out there saying something about him. And I'm just thankful that he, you know, I know it hurts. I know it bothers him. But I'm just thankful that he doesn't allow it to stop him doing what he know he's been called to do. Because he's in a unique position, and he knows he's being held to a higher standard. He also knows that at the end of the day, he has a lot of people depending on him. When you look at Tyler Perry shows, whether this is in the movie theater, you look at his TV shows, Tyler Perry has hired more black people, even black people that you remember seeing on a commercial, and now they in a Tyler Perry movie. And you're like, wow. So, I mean, you can't say that about any other director in Hollywood that has done that. Not one. Not Spike. Not John Singleton.
Yeah.
Not Bill Duke. I mean, and I love them all. Don't misunderstand
me.
I love them all. So, and I think everybody has their part to play in their time, in their season, in their genre.
And you know,
and
people talk about Tyler. The people always talk about too that his willingness or his ability to always show his willingness, I should say, to show buffoonery in characters. But we all know that's a real component of our society. And so I have to always applaud him for not walking away from those characters. The fact that we have a character that's always, you know, crazy, that's amongst us. We have those professional people that think they're better than others. I like the part in the first episode when they talked about the wine, right? He bought a box of wine last time, and this time you can screw the cap off. And so, you know, those portrayal of the real people in our society and our neighbors, again, I applaud him for doing that, because we need to see those people who look like us, who act like us, and who are really, really being portrayed like we are in our own neighborhood. So I have to, again, applaud. And then, finally, I want to talk about the component that you just mentioned. He's giving black people jobs. And that's what people are overlooking, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think people overlook that, and I think people, you know, have their own little issues or isms that they want to put off on somebody else. And I, like I said, I say more power to you, Tyler. Keep doing you, and, you know, keep putting out all you can do. You can put out any movie you want to put out. I'm going to go see it just because I like seeing me on camera. And, you know, I don't, it's not a lot. You know, I even look at animated movies and they don't, you know, they can't find a character brown to put in there. And it's just, you know, at some point it gets irritating. And so, you know, I applaud Tyler, and I'll be there whenever, you know, Marriage Counselor, whatever it's called, comes out. I'll be there.
Right. Well, that's our show for today. I would like to thank my co-host, Jima, always doing a wonderful job, always stimulating conversation, always adding a different perspective of the issues and the topics that we bring to the show. And so I would encourage everybody to go out to TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. That's where Jima does all her great work. And so, again, that's TaylorMade Talk Radio, all one word, TaylorMade, D as in Delta, E as in Echo, TalkRadio.blogspot.com. We're approaching 50,000 page views here shortly, and so, again, I would like to thank Jima for all the wonderful work she's doing out there. So, Jima, any final thoughts?
No, I'm just glad we did this. This was fun tonight. We'll have to do it again real soon.
Absolutely. All right, that's our show. Remember, it is written, for my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook.
Yeah. you, love you.